Finland has this great tradition. It began in the 1300s, called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. And each year at noon on Christmas Eve, the Christmas Peace Declaration is read in the city of Turku. And the proclamation reads this. So they get out there and, on the town square, and they read this. They say, "Tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior. And thus it is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all. And by advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully, because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall under aggravating circumstances be guilty and punished according to what the law and the statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, have a joyous Christmas feast is wished upon all the inhabitants of the city. Moral of the story is you do not mess with the Finns' Christmas peace." I think we had a similar proclamation in my house of, this is not peaceful, there's going to be dire consequences. So each week in Advent, we're focusing on a different attribute of God in the coming of Jesus Christ, hope, peace, joy, and love. And we're looking at the Christmas story because we want to rediscover Christmas. And today we're going to look at rediscovering peace. Did anybody use a little bit of peace in their life and maybe a little bit around you to you know, kind of some overflow? That would be great. All right, so this morning we're going to look at some, what I think are some unlikely recipients of peace. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, and it's going to be up on the screen, or if you're one of those that you really like to fill that paper and to look at that, you have it right in front of you, and everybody probably has a copy on their phone. And that buzzing you heard was, there's not a fire going on or anything, that was an Amber Alert. So. All right, Luke 2, beginning at verse 8. Anyways, the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you, on this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased." And when the angels went away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, just think, this is an incredible way for God to announce the birth of his son. If you travel to Israel, there's this big open field right outside of Bethlehem where they believe that this took place, and there were some caves there where you know, if you were a shepherd, you could sleep in those caves and have your flocks out there, and I just wonder, you know, what would it be like to stand out there in that field, and probably terrifying actually. You know, you look up and the sky is just filled full of angels. And I guess that makes sense to me. It's like, yeah, God's going to bring a bunch of angels. There's, you know, an army of angels out there announcing this birth. But why shepherds? Why would he announce this to these shepherds? Let me give you my best shot. First, I think the shepherds, they remind us that the patriarchs of Israel, they were shepherds. They were people that roamed the land. They were nomadic animal tenders. And then the other thing I think is Israel's greatest king, David, the one whom God promised the Messiah to come through, David was a shepherd. Secondly, I think they signify Jesus's future ministry, and that Jesus was going to teach us. Jesus was going to be a shepherd to us. Third thing that I think about is these are the guys that raised sacrificial lambs. You need shepherds to have the lambs. And Jesus entered into our world to fulfill this identity of the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. He was the one that was going to make the ultimate sacrifice, the one who would make the payment for our sins. And his very resurrection made it possible for us to have this restored relationship with God and to experience true peace. The Hebrew word for that is shalom. And shalom, if you'd ask a Hebrew, that would encapsulate the completeness and the wholeness of the original creation, where things are restored as they should be. I don't know if you know that when you read through the Bible, and because I know a lot of people talk about right now, they say, oh, I just want things to return to. You read your Bible, there's like two chapters in Genesis and two chapters in Revelation that are normal. And everything else in between is pretty messed up. And God himself in the person of Jesus Christ came to restore all things as the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. The last thing, and I think we should not overlook this at all, is these shepherds, they were the have-nots of the world. We think, okay, here's what God's going to do, and God goes, no, I'm going to do something over here. And their story reminds us that God's favor is on all who humbly acknowledge their own brokenness, and they accept his gifts of hope and peace and joy and love. They also, these shepherds, they give us some insight about our own intersection with God's peace. And I got 3 points on those, but the first one is peace comes in the midst of our storms. You don't pray for peace in the middle of everything going okay, right? It's in the middle of the storms where you're saying, God, bring your peace. We need your peace. Well, let me ask you a question. How's your Christmas season typically go? Usually, if we're honest, you might come up with words saying it's busy, it's hectic, frantic, or maybe that's your whole year. I don't know. Maybe Christmas is no different. But how many times, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you guys will throw things at me, but maybe COVID was kind of a gift and that it didn't overload your schedule this year. But sometimes that robs us of our peace and robs us of our joy. There's no margin in our lives. Maybe this year, and maybe normally things that rob relationships, conflict within families. I'm probably the only one that has that kind of stuff going on, right? Conflict with families, pressure at work, financial worries, illness. We've got plenty of options to choose from this year of things that we allow to rob us of our peace. But that's where God appears. He appears in those situations. This time, and think about Mary and Joseph. It's in the middle of this world that's turned upside down. This young Jewish couple, they find themselves in the center of cosmic events. All the while, they're trying to navigate normal life. All right? Isn't that what we're all trying to do? Trying to navigate our normal life? They've got these realities that, okay, hey, we need to travel on foot across country because we got to pay taxes. Are we going to show up for the census to this Roman government who were the oppressors, by the way? And then not only that, in the middle of that, they're experiencing birth of their first child, and birth in a situation where they're not around family. I mean, maybe you've experienced that where you're saying, oh, I'm so thankful my family is around in this situation or that, or people around. They didn't have those luxuries. They didn't have those people around them. And it's right here. It's in this circumstances. It's in this struggle. It's in this reality where God shows up. And this is where God continues to show up. You know where I find God showing up? Oh, Ogden, it's in my pain, it's in my fears, it's in my confusion, it's in my grief, it's in loss, and it's uncertainty. And that's where God shows up, and shows up where we need him most. Secondly, peace defies our circumstances. Now, I don't want to insult anybody, because I don't know you hurt. And I've had people say that to me. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know the pain. You don't know the circumstances. And you're right, I don't. But I do know this. I know the one who promises peace that defies our circumstances. That's what I know. The Apostle Paul described the process like this. Paul writes in the book of Philippians. By the way, most of these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, he wasn't sitting in some mansion. He wasn't sitting on a beach with a drink, with an umbrella. He's sitting in a Roman prison. And here's how he writes. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice." He said, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone." That'd be really cool if people would let their reasonableness be known to everyone. "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Okay, so we do those things, and here's the result. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." All right, let me encourage us with this today. Let me encourage myself with this today. No matter what we're facing, no matter what's been thrown at us, there's a process here that begins with us turning to God. And to be honest, I don't pretend to fully understand this. In fact, Paul already knows I'm not going to understand it, because there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. That God does something, I say, okay, I don't have it all figured out. But God shows up when I do this. There's power in prayer, and there's a transformation that grows within us. It grows within us from gratitude. And here's the thing. It's not the power. When I go to God in prayer, it's not the power of me getting what I want. And it's not the power of me convincing God to see things my way. I mean, I have this agreement with God that he retains the right to be God in my life and do what he wants to do. Whether you know it or not, you have that same agreement. But it's more. It's more than that. It's more than me getting what I want. It's because prayer oftentimes changes me. And God begins to do something, and I begin to experience peace. And my perspective changed right in the midst of the chaos. That God gives that peace, that same peace that he spoke to the shepherds, that same peace that he gave to Mary and Joseph as they gave birth to their first child, who happened to be the Son of God, nonetheless. Talk about worrying about your children. What do I do with the Son of God? And you know what it really is? It really comes to a place of me acknowledging he's got this. God's got this. And we can trust him. God is enough. I was talking to somebody this morning that early on, when the world kind of turned upside down earlier this year, I kind of made this decision. I wasn't going to try to figure out the win. Because sometimes we try to do that. We say, okay, what can I do to win the people? What can I do to win this situation? And I started to ask the question of, God, what does it look like for me to be faithful? What does it look like for Hope Community Church to be faithful? To be faithful to you, to be faithful to love the people in the community, to be faithful with the gospel. And we can trust you. You are enough, God. You are our peace. You are our hope. We place everything in your hands. 3. Peace is a person. All of this comes back to a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, for he himself is our peace. He's not talking about some abstract idea of peace. He's saying Jesus Christ, the one born in the manger, the one who lived out this life, who showed us the way, who became the way, who defeated sin, who defeated death, is resurrected, sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding on our behalf. He is our peace. In fact, the prophet Isaiah, long before Jesus was born, called him the Prince of Peace. Let's listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. It says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. Man, take it, man. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And for the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. There will be no end. On the throne of David, to these shepherds, that's the child that this son was given to bring power and rule in the rule of his peace in our lives. Us and God, he became the sacrificial lamb and the giver of life. Jesus Christ himself is the embodiment of shalom. He is the one who brings the wholeness. When we look at the world and we say the world is broken, well, Jesus came to restore all things. And we know one day this one who came to establish his kingdom will establish it in its fullness. That are worried, and I'm not saying we stick our head in the sand and pretend there's nothing bad going on. I'm saying in the midst of very bad things going on, that we walk in the peace of Jesus Christ because we know the Prince of Peace. Let me offer a word of prayer, and then Pastor Zeph will lead us in communion. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful in the storms of life you show up and you bring peace. We're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ that came as the sacrificial lamb, defeated sin, defeated death, that we could have a restored relationship, and one day you will restore all things. And so we trust in you. We give you our fears, our concerns, our worries, our frustrations, and we lay them at your feet. And Lord, we pray that you would do a work in this community, in this congregation. And Lord, we pray right now that you begin that work with us. And Lord, transform our hearts. Draw us closer to you. May we be more like Jesus. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we give you thanks today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we share the Lord's table, we will ask